Everything in your life is sort of about how you frame it, the lens through which you view it. And our ego-minded selves are basically framing devices. Infinity appears in front of us, and we can't bear it, really. And so we frame it in a way in which it can be contained. The incoherent becomes coherent. Chaos becomes known. And that's what our mind does. It's doing it all the time. It's creating for us a way to view an infinite process in a way that's personal and means something to us and helps us get through the journey that we are on. It creates a story or a narrative that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we are addicted to beginnings, middles, and ends. We need them because without them, what does it all mean? What does it mean if this life was not the beginning for you and the death is not the end? What happens to your story? Where does it go? What was it all about? So we create a very individualized universe, personalized universe. And we live accordingly. And it somehow syncs up with a lot of other people's personalized, individualized framework. And we become reinforced in our lives by a sense that we're not that dislike, unfamiliar with other people's frameworks. And so we all start to kind of sync up. We have birthday parties, and everybody comes together to celebrate the birth that you had. We have all of these markers that kind of give us a sense of universality that we approach from a very personal perspective. You know, it's so interesting. A lot of people I know are hitting their 50s or so, and from so many different perspectives. It's the same age, but some are dreading it, some are celebrating it, some think it's beautiful, some think it's the worst thing that could ever happen to them. We have the same marker, but we completely visualize it in different terms. Let me explain as simply as I can. Life process, or this thing we call meditation, is getting rid of the frame, taking it apart. I've spoken before about this idea of it's not about you, and yet we personalize everything, meaning that we are framing everything according to our idea of and experience of and feeling of how it should be or how we think it is. And that framework is exceedingly limiting in terms of the reality that you are in. When you see life through a very, very narrow lens, you miss almost everything. You miss the world. You miss life. It's all about you. It's all about your problems and your issues and your dramas and why it happened to you, and it's your story, and you reinforce it every day. So that frame is not only a way of looking, it's the bars of a prison. You get locked inside this very small, narrow containment of how you see the world. It's a source of enormous suffering because you don't have the whole picture. Somewhere along the line, something may happen to you It's called an initiatory moment, where you get a perception of the idea, of the fact, perhaps, that your vision isn't completely reliable. You see somebody else's way of looking and you go, oh. You read a novel and you go, oh, I never knew you could look at it that way. You see a movie and you go, that's amazing. That's a different way of looking. I remember seeing, when I was a kid, you know, Marlon Brando movies, and every time I walked out of the theater, I wanted to look like and walk like Marlon Brando. And everybody walking up the aisle was doing it, or James Dean. I mean, this dates me, but that's what we did, because we didn't have to be us. We could be this cool person. And we created a new framework, a bigger or at least different framework for how we could be in the world. And that felt great. It was liberating. It was like, I am not this person I think I am. I could be more. There's a thing, and I call it a process, of breaking down the frame and allowing yourself to reimagine, re-envision, re-see who you are. But it's a process that goes on your whole life. And in a way, it's a classical process because we all go through it, and it's even mythic, Jungian. We are on this unbelievable journey from individualized self into the collective unconscious. We are working our way into freedom, into becoming capable of seeing with an extraordinarily vast awareness the truth of existence. It's more than the individualized mind can bear. It's too big. It's too unfamiliar on some level. It's undefinable. It's unknowable. It's unreachable. And yet there it is. And the only way to have any kind of comfort within it or even vision of it is to reduce the lens into an individualized, personalized view. This individualized being, collectively, with all of us together, build this very particular world that we're walking around in. We build the buildings, literally. We farm it. We collectively create from it. We get energy from it. We build a very solid, very real space in which to function and in which to make something understandable, knowable, graspable, relatable, personal, and meaningful, and it's really important, except that none of it's true. That the framework that you have doesn't see it. It sees a comfortable, relatively comfortable, vision of what is, in fact, beyond image. I wish I could say it's comfortable. Any of you who've lived long enough are aware that mostly it's uncomfortable. That what we do on a daily basis is try to find comfort. That's really all we do. We try to find happiness, as we call it, or ease, or turn the air conditioning up just a little bit more, tear it down a little bit. And then if you get in the car with my kids, everybody has a different level of comfort, so nobody's comfortable. Turn up, down, open the window, close the window. Everybody's in a different place, and yet we inhabit the same space. And so it's really hard to understand how we get to one place where all of us are comfortable at the same time, and that has to do with this individuation that we have that keeps us from finding it. We're all struggling for our happiness, our acceptance, our vision of how it should be. And as long as we're doing that, we have a realm of conflict and suffering and drama that is the source of our endless entertainment. Turn on the TV and you are watching conflicted ego minds, people with different frames, trying to interact with other people of other frames and not seeing the same world. Each little corner of the world is different enough that it makes it interesting and it also conflicts us. Because we want everyone to see it the way we do. Look through my eyes. We have so much suffering because we don't understand that the personal is the problem. That becoming impersonal, finding your doorway to the universal, is the pathway to liberation. Letting go of you. Letting go of your frame, of your idea of how it is, because it isn't how it is. And you can tell just by the fact that there's so many of us that somebody looking this way is not seeing the same thing as somebody looking this way. You can't. You're not looking the other way. They see it differently than you. Collectively, you're seeing it all. And that may be why we all exist in so many bodies and so many forms with so many eyes, because the only way to see it all is to see it from every direction, through every frame that exists. All these frames coming together, butting together, joining together, are a vision of totality. But the true totality is when each one of us lets go of the frame and goes, I mean, imagine seeing the world not through your eyes, but through being. Imagine that vision through the eyes is only a tiny suggestion of true vision, which has nothing to do with seeing through mechanical devices. True vision is a kind of unbelievable wow. Wow. And it's not knowable biologically. It's not knowable through the framework. It's only as you start to blast out of the framework, relax out of the framework, rip apart the framework, that you start to see differently. And it's so extraordinary as that happens. Again, to bring my grandchildren into the picture, my granddaughter, Talia, is so brilliant. She's 6 years old. I know she reads these 500-page books, and she's taught herself to read. She's taught herself to look at the world, and we sit down and have these amazing discussions about what is love, what is falling in love, what is first love, what is love at first sight. I mean, 6 years old, and we're having these big talks. She could not have had these talks 2 years ago, but she's now six, and she's witnessing and being curious about and reaching for this larger vision about life. And she's going to build a bigger and bigger framework, and then it's going to get to a place where, like all the rest of us, it's locked in. This is how it is. This is how it is. Luckily, she keeps reading, so she knows that that may not be exactly how it is, but it's pretty much like that. My grandson, Elijah, is being defined now by everybody around him. He's the youngest kid in the group. We were all the cousins together yesterday. Nobody was hardly playing with him, because he's the little kid. And he's trying to figure out, what does it mean to be the little kid? Why am I not being engaged and involved in everything else? He's the only one who doesn't know how to swim, and he's terrified of water. He's building up this whole idea of himself, and I'm watching him build it up, and I'm going, oh my God, he's going to spend the rest of his life undoing all of these things that he's been given by these little cousins who don't know how to play with him, and he doesn't know how to play with them. It's locking in, and we all did that. We all did that. We all became people based on how other people treated us, based on our birth order, based on how our parents were feeling that day, based on how your sisters or brothers treated you, or the fact that you didn't have sisters or brothers. All of this stuff forms this thing, and then slowly you have to dismantle it. How do you dismantle? Process. Process is sitting still. Stop, stay, sit. Or sit, stop, sit, stay. Those are my key words. You can mix them up any way you want. But you got to sit still, and you got to stay at it. And this thing happens in stillness. You got to deal with the mind making all of its noise and resisting you and being angry and not wanting to sit and having a million things to do, and this is a waste of time. You've got to sit through that. That's a process. Somehow you have to make it worthwhile to stop doing everything and deal with the noise inside yourself. You've got to stop. You've got to stop feeling all these emotions and making them personal. You have to stop, sit, stay, go in, get quiet. And then, doorway opens, The doorway opens inside, it will always open inside, and you will find this thing waiting for you. It's called presence, it's called yourself, it's called the witness, it's called comfort and joy and embrace. It's this exquisite being, this not knowing, but being aware of what is. And you find this space, and it's so much a bigger vision of the world than what comes through your two little eyes, that you start to trust it more and more, and you begin this process of dismantling, bit by bit, the framework around you, and beginning to let this inner vision become your vision. This framework has your name on it. It's your name. It's your history. It's all the kids who didn't like you when you were two. It's your parents being angry at you or loving you too much. It's whatever it is. This is your framework. How do you let it go? You can chip away at it. You can try to knock it down. You can do drugs and blast it into the infinite for a while. You can do all these different things, but mostly, if you go inside and sit, the walls of your containment start to wither away. A little bit at a time, they just start to melt, they expand, they relax, they stop confining, they become more aware of possibility. This can be, this is more than it was, than I ever imagined it could be. You start to feel all this, and the frame begins to get bigger and bigger, and then you start to feel this love for humanity, love for other people, love for yourself that is extraordinary, and then you start to meet bigger frames. And you go, what's wrong with me? I've spent all these years working at breaking down the framework. I thought I'd done it, and now there's this bigger one, usually centered in the idea of pain and suffering, often physical pain and suffering, which gets everybody at the end. And you can't believe that you are caught by it. But if you have learned the lessons of this inner process, every step along the way is mythic process, the battle with the demons of your own unconsciousness. You have to fight this stuff, find a way to trick it, if you will, into relaxing and allowing you to go beyond. Every step is part of a cosmic journey of liberation. Every step, it's all process. Don't take it personally. Let's say you go through a week or a month or something of deep depression. And you go, why? What am I doing wrong? What's the problem? How come I can't get to the source of this? Where did this come from? What's wrong with me? You build it into something bigger and darker and blacker. And then if someone like me or something inside you that is aware says, this is process. You need to go through this. This is how you evolve. It's going into the place where you know and trust nothing. It's going to the place of darkness. It's going to the place of the abyss within. It's allowing all of this to be. Then, if you have that within the context of your evolutionary spiritual life, you will allow everything to happen. The deep, dark moments, the blissful moments, you will sit back in a state of unbelievable awareness and go, aha, aha, even this. And you stop judging and personalizing all of these moments and making them your problem, specifically about you, something you did wrong, something you did right. You stop making it about that. You just let it go and say, aha. You sit in a state of deepening awareness and stillness. And as you break that down, some of these deep frameworks, barriers, containments, way into the recesses of your psyche, break down, and there is another liberation, another level of freedom, another level of awakening and enlightenment that you never even imagined possible. And you can only get there through the process. You can only get there by going okay to whatever happens. And here's what's really important: trusting it. trusting it. It's not an unconscious, mean-spirited unfolding. It has a kind of brilliant, I'll call it God-driven dynamic that's working to free you to be what you are. It needs us to be confined and contained to build the world, and then it wants us to free ourselves of that effort and go beyond. It really wants that. I cannot explain to you how much it hurts when I sit with you guys and you sit around internally holding on to the frame and suffering inside the framework and going, I can't let go of that, no, because I did something wrong or something betrayed me or something wasn't right. There's this thing inside everybody that I go to, and in some of you I've been going to for years, and it's the same thing. And you let it go for 2 minutes in the class, and then I watch the next time I see you and it's all reformed again. The framework that you broke down has a way of coming back again. And you need to work and process this thing over and over, because it's all you've got. It's all you've got. You have the capacity, the God-given capacity, the universal capacity, the spiritual capacity to be free and liberated from your bullshit and your framework that completely cuts you off from the truth of being. You have the capacity for that. And if you didn't have the capacity, you wouldn't have been born. It's why you're here. It's why we're all here. It's a dance we do. And coming to a place like this is just part of the process. Somebody has to help you along the way. Help is at the core of our practice. Please help me to surrender. Those are the key ingredients. Help. Find the people who help you, not to reinforce your framework, but to get out of it. Find the people who allow you to be you, who don't stress that you stay the locked-in character that you were, but somehow provide the opening into something greater. You know, those who challenge us, those who don't accept us for the limited person we are, those are the real gifts in life. Those who encourage you to go beyond. And nobody can go beyond for you, nobody. You cannot find anyone who will take you there. That's the scariest part of this. You can't find anyone who can do this for you. You can only find people who will cheer you on. You can do it. You can do it. Do it. It's to be done. And, you know, if you don't do it, that's fine. I would venture to say mostly it's not done. But it appears, because there's no frame and no beginning and no end, that this goes on forever. It goes on and on and on until you enter into the non-framed, the unframed infinite that you already are, and then you're not trying to get anywhere. You've arrived. You have arrived. So, this is the journey. You know, you're in it whether you want to be in it or not. You're doing it well or you're not doing it well. You're doing it lovingly or angrily. You know. And as long as you personalize it and, you know, make everything that happens about you and everything that happens about your issues and your problems, and somebody did this to you 20 years ago and you are not going to let go of it for anything, okay. Nobody cares. Just yours. It's yours to do with as you will. Liberation is to free yourself of you. Good luck. Questions?
Thank you for what I'm noticing today is there's a deep realization that whatever hopes, wishes, dreams, the fantasy that you talk about that I have needed to be burned in order to really move into that more permanent state of peace. And at first that felt difficult, and as it went away it felt really liberating. And then there was this, now give me all your shit. And that's when it became interesting, because I know you talk about Rudy always saying, as a teacher, you student, give me your shit, and when a train goes by here, imagine your shit going on it. And I just recognized how precious I was and how I was trying to be very crafty with it, basically how attached I was to the shit, you know, the guilt, the shame, whatever, the fear.
Mm. Beautiful.
And when that finally released, I realized there was this like reverse yin yang, that I couldn't just let go of this shit and then hold on to the dreams and aspirations.
Beautiful.
And vice versa. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I mean, half of you are sitting here in your shit pile, and I'm trying to dig it out, and you're going, but that's my shit. You can't have my shit. Rudy said, give it to me. I can burn it. I can get rid of it. You can't. You can give it away. You can give it away, throw it away, or use it as fertilizer, do something. But so many people hold on to this stuff, and it's, oh my God, the years and years of the same old shit. And it gets really tiresome. And finally, if you know people like this, I'm sure you do, you don't want to be around them. You know, how many years can you play in that pile? You know, what's the purpose? What's gained out of it? You know, people who have the same issue year after year after year after year, get off the pot. You know, move on. It's unbelievably frustrating. And I can't believe how slowly people are willing to move. Oh, I just got rid of a turd. You know, and feel really great about it. There's explosions of stuff that want to happen. And we need to let it go. We need to move on. We need to do the work. And it's very frustrating as a teacher, because I see how slowly people want to move, or how slowly people feel they can move. Trust me, you can do beyond anything you imagine. You can be really aggressive with this. You can make this the cause of your day, of every day. Every day becomes this unbelievable work effort that is so rewarding, because when you go to bed at night, you have dropped off 500 pounds of crap. And it feels incredible. Of course, the next day there's another 500 pounds and it keeps going, but you get rid of it and you get rid of it and you get rid of it, and at some point you really are free. You just are free. You're free of the individualized experience. I will say to you, and I've said this many times, you are then open to the collective shit and to everybody's work. You're open to being one with the totality, and you realize the magnitude of the effort of human beings to try to find a way to be collectively kind to one another, collectively concerned about one another. And we have to, as a species, figure that out, or we won't be here. And right now, that's pretty well focused. You know, we're really on the brink of not figuring it out, and not figuring out will cause great grief. But we're here to try. And I will tell you, even if we don't figure it out, the unbelievable primal presence of being will figure it out somewhere along the way.
Yeah, this is the first time I've done an open eye meditation like this. And something physically happened, and maybe someone else has experienced the same thing. I started having difficulty swallowing. Mm-hmm. And I just was like stuck right here, and I just wanted to share with you.
I mean, there are infinite kinds of experiences that happen here. If you want to specific on that, that's ego structure, really, right here. You know, dry mouth, you know, it's the idea of your ego presenting itself and being found wanting on some level, the ego having to deal with universal, and it doesn't know what to do with it. It's pretty traumatized. I described to you in the introductory class about, if you want to find your ego space right here in the throat chakra, you go to a job interview, you know, and they say, so tell me about you. And you can't swallow. You can't get this to function, because it's so challenged. It's so frightened. It's so unable to present itself. It's not in free flow. And that's a lot of people, when they come to the class, will find their heart shutting down completely, their mind shutting down, for better or for worse, rather than expanding, just going, what's going on? You know, all of these things go on, the fear in your gut. Anything can happen in this class. I can only tell you that every class will be different. Every meditation will be different. Every time you sit will be a new exploration of the infinite within you and how you react to it. Whether you're afraid, whether you're relaxed, whether you're open and embracing, whether you're, you know, judging and running away from. And that's what we're all having to face. We have to learn our system. We have to learn how to process all of this stuff. Basically, mostly just open to everything and be deeply, profoundly available, and it will do the rest. Your job is just open. Just open. Or allow it to open. When I tell you to open, it's almost like it makes you the villain if you don't. You are not a villain, but there's nothing to be done other than allowing. And the best you can do is say, please help. Please help me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make it happen. Because you don't. Nobody does. You just say, please help. And then I can only tell you from my experience over 50 years, help comes and comes and comes and comes. And even sometimes comes disguised as problem and difficulty and issues and drama. But it comes. And when you realize it, you suddenly go, oh, that was help. That was help. Trust your life. Trust this journey. And you will realize it's working for you all the time in true mythic fashion. You are meeting your demons, your enemies, you're meeting your friends, your guides, they're all there for you. It's all happening. It's all actually going on as we speak in the most beautiful narrative sense. And at the same time, it's just a drama, and you'll move beyond the drama to a place where you're no longer captivated by or tortured by or limited by any of it. You'll be free.
Shared about your granddaughter. My 8-year-old daughter completely shattered a construct of mine by delivering a message of love the other day that pretty much brought me to my knees to realize I had become like a master of loneliness my whole life, and this one innocent message forced me to have to realize, and now where my mind went is, oh, now I need to become a master of love, right? So I can make up for the last 4 decades that I was a master of loneliness. And what I got from the class was that I'm never gonna be able to figure that out. Like, I'm never gonna be able to figure that out. But I remember you once said to a group of us in this class that we're warriors and we need to go out there with our sword and we could use it or not. And I guess that's just every day, just going out there and opening up my heart and not closing it. Because I wouldn't have heard that message in that way. It just would have been like, and I love you out the car window. But for this particular time, she crossed some kind of loneliness, love barrier that just shattered everything.
So beautiful.
And I was in that space of very uncomfortable. And of course, I escaped to a movie because that made me feel better. But it was painful. And I'm still there.
Let me suggest that you're owning that you're there, that you're personalizing it, that you're turning it into a me situation, which we all do, is not necessarily the wisest move. If you can sit and look at that loneliness and that barrier that got crossed as a process of additional awareness, if you can sit quietly in that space and not own it, not condemn yourself, not give yourself some kind of generalized feeling of failure, if you can just go, yes, this is what it is. I mean, the biggest process in spiritual evolution is an acceptance, not a trying to get to the place that feels better, but just going, I take it as it is. I accept this. The acceptance of the what is the doorway to what we're talking about. But you can't accept the what is because of the doorway. You accept the what is because it's the only way to get through life and to get through a day. Mm-hmm. You just go, okay. Don't condemn yourself for 4 decades of loneliness. Loneliness is at the heart of every journey. Every journey. You can fetishize it or not, but in the end, as you get to the end, you get there with nobody else. You go through that door with nobody else. Aloneness is one of the key teachings in spiritual practice. To make it your personal one is a mistake because it's universal. And that aloneness is so powerful as a way of, when you accept aloneness, you accept a kind of presence that is independent and free and able to feel something, which I can only tell you loves you in your solitary nature. Loves you. At the core of the solitary nature is this embrace that is, I mean, look at it, it's a narrative. I'm telling you a story here, but it's my experience that in that loneliness, there is this sparkle of, I will call it maternal love, that comes from the center of being. And it just reaches out and it takes you in. That's all I can say. If that doesn't happen, forgive me, because that's my experience and maybe not yours, but I believe it's everybody's experience. And it is so vast and so beautiful and so overwhelming that what your daughter did was to give you a taste of that from the outside. Ultimately, it will come from the inside, but they merge and it becomes one thing, which is just love. Love is the answer. It really is the answer. And you don't need a lot of it. You just need to touch it and realize it's worth everything. The entire universe exists to let you feel it. I mean, imagine matter, dense, deep matter. I talk about this a lot, but dense, deep matter in compressed into molecules and then turning into steel and fire and all of this stuff. For what? For what your daughter just said to you. That's a lot of time and effort to have that penetration. Even to be alone in it, because that stuff comes out of nothing and returns to nothing. We're all totally alone in it. But this thing happens at the center of it, which feels like, which we name love. It's so wonderful. It's so wholesome, whole. It makes us whole. Alone, and yet, there we are. There we are. We break out into this, into multiplicity, but we come back to this, which is the magnificent reality of just being. Okay? Okay. I'll be back in about a month, I guess, a little over. Classes will be here every week, and you're always welcome to come. Thank you for showing up. Take this to heart if you can. You know, it's just not something one gives once a month. You know, you can't just get it once a month and feel good for a few hours and think you got it. It's just not about that. This is a process. Please take it seriously.